Good to be here tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 14 tonight as we read. Matthew 14, we'll look at verse 23. That'll be kind of our main verse tonight we'll use. Man, that was good. Good worship service. I told the Lord a while ago before I walked up here, I said, Lord, I'm not going if you don't go with me. And I mean that with my heart. And the Lord's given me this message I want to present to the church tonight. And I said the church. I'm not really preaching to lost people tonight. I'm preaching to the church, preaching to people who have been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. And this passage we'll look at, these few verses, we are going to kind of flip around a little bit, but maybe the screen will help us out to the places you don't want to look at. This verse is our main verse because we're going to look at praying tonight. We're going to look at how Jesus prayed. And we know that we have a model prayer, and you can look at that. We'll touch on that a little bit. But I'm not particularly talking about the words we pray, as you see in the model prayer. I'm talking about how we pray, where we pray, if we pray. And these scriptures that we're going to look at tonight just kind of, they open my eyes about prayer life. So I'd ask you to stand tonight as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And we'll read this verse and pray and just ask God to show up and show out. And so Matthew 14, 23, the Bible says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you have brought us back to the house of God tonight free, not in bondage. Lord, I thank you for these people that came to. I pray you'd bless them individually. Pray you'd bless their homes, bless their families. Lord, as we walk with you, we've got to have a prayer life. And I thank you for prayer. I ask you to show up and show out through the message you've given me. And Lord, I pray you'd help me give it clearly this evening, Father. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, they've came to see Jesus. Lord, we do this for Jesus. We do this for nobody else. And Lord, I pray when we don't do it for you, that you would just stop this service. We love you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. When we are praying, you know just as well as I do that, as a child of God, you must have a prayer life. Prayer is the avenue, it is the door between me and God. The only way I'm able to talk to God is through the Holy Spirit and through prayer. And Jesus, I think it's a pretty good example to look at Jesus and how he prayed in his earthly walk. And when we're praying, yes, we look at the model prayer, but this scripture tells me I must look at the model prayer, Jesus. Not just the model prayer, but the model prayer. Maybe that makes sense. The man who was behind the words, the man Christ Jesus. He's speaking right here in the text that we read. He had an individual prayer life with God. And if the Son of God's got a prayer life with the Heavenly Father, I must have a prayer life with the Heavenly Father. So let's kind of dive into this, and I want to give us just a kind of a main idea of prayer life, how Jesus prayed. And if you look in that verse, when Jesus prayed, he prayed alone. And that's kind of the main idea tonight. We must have a prayer life that is separate from the world. Separate from the world. Man, it is amazing when you get to the house of God and pray with believers, but you've got to do it at home too. I must do it at home. I must do it in my workplace. I must do it alone sometimes. And Jesus, when we look at the scripture, he was alone when he prayed. The first thing he done in this scripture when he got alone, he removed distractions when he prayed. Let's go back to the scripture and read it. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Did you know there are many distractions in your walk with God? Would everybody in this room agree with that? There are many distractions, many things that are good to do, but sometimes they're a distraction from our prayer life. And I believe with all my heart, and I'm going to say it at the end, but I believe that Satan wants to stop a child of God from praying. I believe that with all of my heart. Because when I stop praying, I start losing the battle. When I lose my prayer life with my Heavenly Father, I start to lose the battle. There are many distractions, and it says in this verse, when Jesus wanted to pray, He removed the distractions. He said that, and when He sent the multitudes away. You can look up earlier in the scriptures, right above where we're reading at tonight, He fed the 5,000. There was a multitude of people there. But when you're getting alone to pray, sometimes people are a distraction. Do you know that? Sometimes people are a distraction. What turned out to be a blessing just a few scriptures ago, when He fed 5,000 people, He wants to get alone to pray, it becomes a burden. And sometimes people in your life and people in my life are not a bad thing, but sometimes you've got to remove distractions in your life if you want to pray with God. If you want to get sincere in your prayer life, sometimes you've got to pray alone just like Jesus done. So what can be a distraction? Number one, people can be a distraction, just like in this text. And what we saw earlier in 5,000 people being fed now became where Jesus had to send them away to pray. And sometimes in your life and in my life, we must get people away to pray alone with God. I hope you know that. Jesus had to pray alone because people sometimes become a distraction. But we look in these texts, also thoughts could be a distraction. Do you know your mind runs? Well, I speak for myself. My mind will run. And I believe when I get to praying, the devil will put everything that's going on in your life on your mind. I believe that. Try to put everything in front of what you're praying for. Maybe that's happened to you. And when Jesus is praying, we've got to look at the example of prayer. And He says that thoughts can be a distraction. He got the people away. But I believe that sometimes our thoughts, sometimes our own mind is a distraction. I want to look at the verse of Scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. If you want to turn there, you can turn there. If you don't, you don't have to. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, we'll look at it in passing. And then we'll move on. And we're talking about the mental side of prayer. You got to have a mental side of your spiritual prayer life. Because if I'm going to pray to God, I must do it with my whole heart. Colossians 3:2, the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things of earth. And that word set would mean direct your thoughts. Direct your affection. So what I'm trying to tell you tonight is people sometimes are a distraction, but thoughts are a distraction. Let's go back to the main text. Also, and if you want to look at today's society, I'll give you another one. Technology is a distraction. Boy, the house should have broke down right there. Everybody in this room's got a cell phone. And if you don't have a cell phone, you must have lost it. We have technology, and Pastor Bush said it this morning. Technology is, God's the one who gave the man the idea. I agree with that. But sometimes if we put technology before our prayer life, we'll start losing a battle in our life. Technology sometimes can be a distraction. Everybody has a cell phone, and what's cool about a cell phone is, I think it's every Sunday or after every week, they'll give you a little thing that says screen time. Boy, don't look at that. Screen time, what that is it'll tell you how long you've been on your phone all week, or how, you know, an average, and you can get on there and look at every day. But instead of praying, I believe sometimes we get hooked on the phone. We'll start scrolling and all of a sudden it's been about 30 minutes. I'm going to tell you something, technology can be a distraction. All these things are good things. Hey, people are a good thing. Thoughts are a good thing. Technology is a good thing. But when we try to put it in our prayer life, it becomes a distraction. And that's kind of the main idea. When Jesus was praying, He removed those distractions as He prayed. And if you want to go to the next verse, we'll look at Luke chapter 11. So let's go there together and look at Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verse number 1, Jesus, man, this is good. He prayed. When he prayed, he removed his distractions. But also when Jesus prayed, he went to a remote place. Boy, that's good. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Jesus went to a remote place. And it came to pass that as he was praying, here it is, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And I want to look at the first part of that verse. He said, Lord, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. And I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus had a certain place to pray, I must have a certain place to pray. I must have one spot that I dedicate that spot to a time of prayer. You can go back and there's many scriptures that you can look at. I'll kind of touch on a few, but there are many scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ had a place to go and all he done was pray. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. And if you don't have a place in your life tonight, I'm asking you to find you a place to pray. Find you a spot where you can get to praying. I wrote this down. It could be a closet, a room, a shop. When he wanted to pray, he'd go out to a field. He had one stump. He'd go out there and pray. He's by himself. You can go to a mountain, as Jesus done. There's not many around here, but you can go there. You can go to a box. The thing is not about the place. It's about the privilege to pray to Jesus. And I believe you don't have to. It's not got to be decorated. It's not got to be fancy. It's not got to be all those things, but it's got to be dedicated to God. You must have a place to pray. I'll give you a scripture if we want to put it on the screen. I won't turn there, but Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. It's not about decoration. It's not about all those things. It's about what you do when you're there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret, or which seeth in secret, shall reward thee open." That's a good verse to remember. I ask you to remember that verse as you go throughout your life. When you pray, get to a place that's private. And when Jesus was praying, Luke 11 is not the only time. There are many other scriptures that say Jesus went apart or Jesus went up to a mountain. I believe that mountain was his place. When the burdens got heavy, and you know the Son of God's burdens got heavy. And when your burdens get heavy, I'm challenging you to go to a place to pray. When you can't, when nothing's getting answered, go pray. Prayer is that access to Jesus Christ. Jesus went to a remote place to pray. Jesus also went, he made it a repetitive practice to pray. Repetitive practice. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, verse 16. And tonight I'm not really preaching to you. I want to teach tonight because it is, man, I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, prayer is of the utmost importance in your life. Because when Charles Spurgeon said, that's the bell to heaven. Grab that rope and you can shake heaven. That's the place you can pray. That's the place you can get with God is in your prayer life. Jesus made it a remote place. He also made it a repetitive practice. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." I looked up the original language of that verse, and that verse said, in the original language, in the Greek, "Yet he frequently withdrew to the wilderness to pray." Frequently. Man, look, you're grown enough to know what frequently means. It means he went often. Jesus, the Son of the living God, went often apart to pray. He got by himself. He removed the distractions. He got to that remote place in his walk with his Father, and he made it a repetitive practice to pray. And I'll say this, I believe it must be a daily habit. Daily habit to pray to an Almighty God. If you don't pray daily, I believe if I didn't pray daily, my walk with Christ would not be where it needs to be. Daily practice. I'll give you a few verses to kind of maybe expound on that a little more. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible tells us that Jesus prayed in the morning. So let's look at that verse. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "In the morning, rising up with a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place." There's it again. "Into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus went in the morning to pray. And I'm challenged, before I start my day, boy, I believe this. Before I start my day, I must pray. Please don't skip that. I know this is simple. I know that you could call this the milk of the word, but this is what we stand on. This is what gets me into the presence of God, and that's prayer. Prayer through the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed in the morning. Another scripture, it says in Psalms 5 that David says, "In the morning you will hear my voice." Man, I love that. He said to God, "You're going to hear my voice in the morning, Lord. Let that be my prayer. Lord, before I start my day, before I do anything, you're going to hear my voice. I'm going to make that my prayer life." Do it in the morning. It also says, do it in the evening. Psalms 55, verse 17 says, we must pray not only in the morning, but in the evening. You look at this scripture. It says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Pray in the morning. Pray in the evening. Make it a daily habit, but make prayer a dedicated habit. Be dedicated. I must be dedicated to my prayer life. If I'm going to access the throne room of God, I must make it a dedicated habit. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, it's a small scripture, it's a short scripture, but it gets to the point. It says, pray without ceasing. I love that verse. I can't always pray audibly, but I can pray spiritually. I can't always pray audibly, but I can pray mentally. It says, pray without ceasing. I can't always be on my knees, but I can pray in my heart. I can walk with God. Just as those people in the Old Testament, we can see the examples in Hebrews 11 of how Enoch walked with God. See how the father Abraham walked with God. Noah walked with God. Examples of people that walked with God on a daily basis. What did they do? They wasn't special. They wasn't done anything different from me and you. They were called by God and they prayed to God every day. That's the difference. They made prayer a daily habit and they walked with Christ. They made it a dedicated habit as well, because that was the place they went to pray. So we've got number one, that Jesus prayed alone. He prayed, he removed his distractions. We saw how he went to a remote place. He made it a repetitive practice. But Jesus prayed with a real purpose. A real purpose. If you want to turn, this last scripture you can go to tonight, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. We'll kind of land there. And Jesus, when he was praying, and I believe a good example, if there's any example in the Word of God to look to pray, I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed with a real purpose. Man, I believe sometimes we pray and just pray amiss. I believe that with all my heart. We pray and we just pray amiss. We don't pray with faith. Bible tells me if I don't pray with faith, I'm not going to get it. But I must pray and I must make it a real purpose in my life. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 7. And this is speaking of Jesus. It says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." I'll give you a little scripture right there. That's a good prayer explaining how Jesus prayed with a real purpose. I love that passage, or I love that little section right there that said he prayed with strong crying and tears. I wrote this down. I hope it makes sense. If crying and shedding tears was wrong to do, Jesus wouldn't have done it. I believe that's a fair assumption to make. If Jesus Christ, the man who was perfect, who took my sin debt upon that cross, if he prayed and he cried and he had strong tears, I believe I'm sometimes, if it means something to me, I must cry every now and then. Prayer only means as much as it means to you. If it don't mean much to you, you're not going to pray about it. But if it means something to you, just like it done with Jesus. When Jesus was praying, it meant something to him. He had a real purpose when he prayed. And I believe that Jesus meant what he said when he prayed. I believe that my Lord meant what he said when he prayed. He didn't pray amiss. He prayed knowing that his Heavenly Father, which is my Heavenly Father, could answer his prayer. So let me tie it all together. When you pray, get alone with God. Kind of the main idea tonight. And like I said, I'm kind of teaching. But when you pray, get alone with God. And what that would mean is, number one, we must remove those distractions. Number two, we must get to a remote place, somewhere where we dedicate to the Lord, and that's where we pray. We must make it a repetitive practice. And we must pray with a real purpose. That's how Jesus prayed. And if I can leave you with anything tonight, prayer is of the utmost importance in your walk with God. Prayer means everything. And the day I stop praying is the day I start losing. So I want to challenge you tonight as I kind of close up and we gather around this room and pray. I want to challenge you as a body of believers, people that have sold their lives to Jesus. You have a challenge and I have a challenge. And that challenge is to pray without ceasing. When I walk with Christ, I pray. When I walk to my workplace, I pray. I must get alone with God. I must have a time of prayer in my life. So I want to ask you a question. Do you have a special place in your life where you have a place to pray? Do you have that one place where you say, that place is where I go and I ask Jesus Christ to meet my needs? And if you don't have one, I challenge you tonight to find you a place to pray to an Almighty God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this.